Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest Show. And, of course, I'm coming to you live with a little Southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. And I just want to say happy Easter to all of you, wherever you are. I just pray that you're having a great day today, enjoying your friends and family, celebrating this wonderful day. Well, I know I had a great day today. I went to church this morning, and then I had a great Easter dinner with some of my friends and family. And thank you so much for joining me today. Well, today is Ask Constance Day. That means that I want you to call in and ask me any questions that you may have concerning your life, concerning any limiting beliefs, any area of your life where you may feel stagnant or stuck, or anything that has been stopping you from manifesting the good, the love, the health, and the wealth that you desire. So I'm going to open up the chat room right now. If you don't want to call, you can certainly just type something in, and I can read it and just answer the question. But before we get started today, let me just share with you a little bit about some upcoming shows. I am so excited. Next Sunday, I'm going to have Michael Lozier, who is the best-selling author of The Law of Attraction, The Science of Getting More of What You Want and Less of What You Don't. That's next Sunday, April 17th. And then the following Sunday, I have DiCarlo Eskridge on April the 26th. DiCarlo is going to be talking about the power of visualization. Believing is seeing. Wow. And in May, get ready, some of my guests are going to be Dr. John DeMartini, who was on The Secret, Sonia Miller, author of The Attraction Distraction, and Dr. Dina Davis, The Law of Attraction in Action. So we have all of these guests just for you so that you can get information, knowledge, so that you can begin to live the life of your dreams, so that you can begin to walk in your purpose and destiny fully. So let's go ahead and get started with the show. And I'm going to try to talk really slow today so that you can fully understand me. So today I'm going to be sharing around the issues of why you may not have manifested certain things into your life. Have you ever asked yourself that question? I mean, I know I have dozens of times. And ever since The Secret was released, there has been just an awakening of manifestation and what's possible. And so The Secret, I understand, I think I read over the internet this week that it has been the number one selling book in history next to the Bible. And so people are really interested in just living life more fully, about living the abundant life. And as most of you know, I am a therapist, and I've been a therapist for 20-plus years. And in all of those years, I've heard all of the cries of people. I've heard all of the stories of people who feel stuck. Anybody ever feel stuck? Who may feel stagnant? Can you identify with any of that? So I'm going to talk to you today about why you have not been manifesting in your life, and I'm going to be really kind of theoretical with you and kind of go deep so that you can have a clear understanding of why, so that you can move forward. I know that I used to see people standing in front of people and talking and giving motivational speeches, and I would be sitting back in my chair with a pious look on my face, very bored, and saying, I could do better than that. But my question to myself was, what was it in me that why I wasn't doing that? And so I'm just going to share a little bit about my story today. And remember that I started this show because so many people they're reading books and they're going to conferences and workshops, and things are still not manifesting. And so today I'm going to go slowly, and I'm going to share with you what I believe is the reason that it's not manifesting in people's lives. I want you to listen, think about your life. And the call-in number is 347-326-9837. And I realize that the secret to that is when the lady says press 1, you have to listen to the entire message and then press 1, because if you don't do that, your hand is not up. And if your hand isn't up, I can't really hear you. So it's an inside job. Changing from the inside out. Whatever is on the outside of your life right now is an exact match, replica, picture of what you truly believe on the inside. It's your DNA. And I always tell people, whatever you do not possess in inner consciousness, you will not keep. So I'm talking about your limiting beliefs and what's been sort of holding you back from manifesting. Let me give you a couple of examples. Have you ever heard of somebody who won the lottery and they became rich and they possessed all of the beautiful homes and the new cars and the big boat, and then about 5 years later, they were poor again? Why is that? Because on the inside, in their DNA, their true core belief, they did not possess an inner consciousness of wealth. And so remember, whatever you truly believe on the inside is what's going to manifest on the outside. So let's take a look at Donald Trump or some of the Rockefellers. I think the Rockefellers went broke about 3 or 4 times. They had to file bankruptcy. But what was it in them that made them come back to wealth? Because they had a true inner consciousness, a true belief, their DNA was one of wealth. And that's why 5% of the population possesses the wealth and the other 95% are poor. And so I'm going to be talking about core belief systems or limiting belief systems that really stop you from manifesting in your life. I always say in my own practice, I never coach on top of mess. I always counsel you, take you back, and then you move forward. Counseling means dealing with your past, and coaching means moving you forward. And I believe that so many people are trying to be coached and trying to be successful and trying to move forward when they have not dealt with their limiting beliefs. So what are belief systems and how are they formed? Now, the experts say that by the time we are 5, they are already formed in us. So whatever words, positive or negative, you are great, you're wonderful, or you're not going to be anything, you're stupid, you're crazy, whatever experiences, if you lived in an alcoholic home or if you lived in a two-parent home, and whatever exposures have occurred in your life as a child, have created your core belief system that you live by every day. And the interesting thing is we don't know that we're living by them. You could be living a lie, and most of us are, but you are going to live out your belief system. I always say whatever you did not get as a child, you're going to be looking for that. So your belief system gives you the framework that keeps you and helps you interpret and understand the experiences in your life. It's something that you accept as true without question, and it may not even be true. I'll use me for an example. When I was growing up, I was really tall. I'm about 5'8", and then I was really, really skinny, and I had little legs, and they used to call me bird legs, and I have big eyes, and they call me Popeye. And so I did not know that words were creative. I did not know that words framed my life. And so all of my friends in high school would just kid me. So as a result, my belief system became that I was unattractive. And so out of that unattractive belief system, I began to operate, and that meant at an early age, I felt like I had to prove myself, and I chose relationships that were beneath me because my belief system was that I was unattractive. And so your beliefs are deeply embedded in you, and they dictate your life. They're saying that 90% of what we truly believe is subconscious. So it may not even be true, but whatever you believe, you're going to manifest. And these beliefs rule and reign your life. And that's why as a coach, I just really believe that people really need to deal with the inner parts of who they are before they try to manifest. I say it's kind of like putting perfume on and you haven't had a bath in 5 days. What's going to happen? We're going to start smelling something pretty soon. So remember, whatever you truly believe, it's going to be a direct match of what you're manifesting on the outside. So if you want to call in, you can ask Constance at 348-326-9837. And I see I have one call that I'm going to take, 770-513. Let me see. Hello, Carl, are you on the air?
It's me. I'm just listening to you.
Okay, do you have a question?
No. Just listening to you.
Okay, all right, she's just listening to me. That's good. Okay, so how do we get these belief systems? You know, all of us should have grown up in very loving and nurturing homes. We're not here to blame anybody. We're just here to really take a look at our own belief systems and why we have not been manifesting. So these are some significant characteristics of dysfunctional homes. Dysfunctional means it don't function right. So if you have a glass with a hole in it and the water is running out, that's dysfunctional. If you have a pen that's not writing, that's dysfunctional. So that's all that means. So you should have had a home with two loving parents that loved and nurtured you and told you who you are, etc., and that would have formed the image and the belief on the inside of you. So if you had an alcoholic home, one parent, if your parents were emotionally unavailable, if you had a workaholic dad, if you were never really told that you were loved, if you had one parent that was on drugs, or if you had a great family, but there was a lot of rigidity and rules and religion in it, or if you grew up in a family where the rules were don't talk, don't trust, don't steal, all of those areas, all of those beliefs are formed in you. And until you take a hardcore look at them, it would determine how your life would be. Because remember, your true belief systems rule, reign, and limit your life. Okay, I see we have a caller. I'm going to see. Hello, caller. Do you have a question? She didn't have her hand up. Remember, call 347-326-9837 and listen through the entire message and then press 1. So, what is your belief system? What do you truly believe? Because what you truly believe is what's going to be manifesting on the outside. I know in my own life personally for years I said, I'm abundant, I'm wealthy, I talked wealth, and I said I'm going to have all things. I'm going to have a boat, I got a house, I'm going to have a car. And for a while I possessed a lot of things, but seemingly wealth would elude me. And I did not know why, because I thought I was believing, but the core of my DNA was one of poverty. I grew up in a very impoverished home. I had a lot of love in my home, but we were very poor. And I remember my father used to say all the time, Constance, money does not grow on trees. And I remember saying as a little girl, when I grow up, I am going to have all the money that I ever want. And that's exactly what happened to me. I did have all the money that I ever wanted, but I would also spend all of the money because I really had a poverty mentality. And so think about what your life, how are you handling money? What kinds of relationships have you had in your life? What about your health? What about your wealth? What about your spirituality? I always say that whatever you truly believe is what manifests on the inside of you, and you never choose any higher than how you see yourself. I can tell how you truly feel about yourself by the choices that you make. So I'm going to go down the list, and I want you to write down any of these that apply to you. And remember, you can call in and ask Conscious at 347-326-9837 and listen through the entire message and then press 1 so that I can see that your hand is up. Well, I do see one person in the chat room has asked me a question. Constance, why is it that I keep choosing the same relationships when I truly want love in my life? Well, you asked the right person. I can truly say that in my life, relationships in the past has been a big struggle. And I can say you never choose any higher than how you see, value, and love yourself. Whatever you want, you have to be that. And so if you're looking outside of yourself for love and you're not loving yourself, it will not happen. And so what I tell women, it's a book called Smart Women, Foolish Choices. What does that mean? That means that women are very, very smart educationally, but because we were built for relationships, sometimes we choose incorrect relationships. And so I would say to this person who asked the question, number one, you need to really take a look at your inner beliefs about how you love yourself. You need to take a look at your own values and your own worth. Do you truly love yourself? Do you truly care for yourself? Do you feel worthy to have a relationship? And do you feel that you have truly healed yourself so that when you go into a relationship that you're not going looking for this man to really make you whole? I always say you cannot go to the arms of a man to get only what God can give you. And so be as whole as you can. And how do you do that? I'm going to talk about that, but let me just share with the caller. I believe that there are many ways that people can become whole. Counseling, people have different paths. God has different paths for people to become whole. Counseling, support groups, some people believe in EFT, tapping, praying and believing, laying on of hands. Whatever works for you is what you need to do. And you need to become as whole as you can as a person so that when you do get into that relationship, you're going in as a whole person and not really looking to that person to meet all of your needs. And so that's what I would say to you, because whatever you did not get as a little girl, if you did not get the loving and the nurturing and the caring that you needed from a father figure, until you heal yourself, you're going to be looking for that outside of yourself. And take it from a woman who knows it will never work. Let me see if I can get another caller on the line. Let me see here. Hello, caller, can you hear me? I see a lot of people are on the line, but they do not have their hand up. So remember, callers, when you call in, you call 347-326-9837 and listen through the entire message, and that means that your hand will be up. I have four callers, but nobody has your hand up, and so if you don't have your hand up by pressing one, then I can't talk to you. Okay, I see one person. Hello, caller?
Yes.
Okay, do you have a question for Constance?
Yes, this is Charisse. Constance, you can hear me?
I can hear you, Charisse. Go ahead. Thank you for calling.
Well, Ms. Constance, I have, my son says that my picker button is off in that I've been married 3 times and divorced 3 times. My first 2 husbands were drug addicts, and my third husband was an alcoholic. And so, of course, I'm on that never again, you know, anybody with any chemical dependence or any reasonable, even looking like they might be an addict, I'm not going to touch them. And so I've been dating this guy whose father was an alcoholic, and he doesn't touch the stuff, but he's a workaholic, which I'm an entrepreneur myself, so I kind of like that drive and all of that. But then he seems to have a lot of alcoholic or drug addict tendencies. He likes to be alone, don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. Just still a lot of addict behavior. And so, you know, nobody's perfect. So how do you attract something different? But there are so many pluses that I still like about him, even though he's not an addict, but he has addict behavior.
Okay, let me just, thank you, Sharice, don't hang up. Let me just talk to you. Well, first of all, have you ever heard of a dry drunk?
No.
Okay, that means that you may not be drinking, but you may have alcoholic behavior. And alcoholic behavior is simply being emotionally unavailable. And a workaholic is the same thing as an alcoholic because you're not there for the person. And so as long as you're working, you don't have to be emotionally available to the person. And maybe he has had some very difficult relationships. Has he been married before?
Has he been what?
Has he been married before?
Yes, and very hurtful endings to both marriages.
Okay, so has he been healed? Do you think he's healed, or do you think he has trust issues?
Definite trust issues.
Okay, and I would say to you that there was something in you that chose those three alcoholic husbands. What do you think it was?
Been to some support group work, and I believe it was probably neat on my part because I'm a real caring, strong, independent kind of woman from the standpoint of, I think, looking back on it, it may have met a need within me to help people.
Okay. And so kind of codependent behavior a little bit. Okay, but I'm going to say in this relationship, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I want you to enter into this relationship loving and caring for yourself physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I want you to enter this relationship knowing that you are deserving. Do you think you're deserving?
Definitely.
Because deserving, and that you're valuable, and that you are capable of being in a great relationship. I want you to enter into this relationship believing that there is just an unlimited abundance of great men who would love to have you. Enter into this relationship knowing that you are a prize, that you are valuable, that you are a queen from that perspective. And lastly, where don't settle for less, because a man has to make the choice to be with you. And so I personally think that women do too much work in relationships. I think that especially if you're over 40 or 50, a man knows what he wants. Yes, I want this. And when a man wants you, he will make time for you. Somebody said that there's nothing that you can do to keep a man away if he wants you, and there's nothing that you can do to make him stay if he doesn't want you. So I would say I want you to stay in a place of valuing, loving, caring for yourself. I want you to spend your time walking in whatever you're supposed to be doing on this earth in your purpose and destiny, and be in a place of value and cherishing, and see yourself as a gift and a prize. And knowing that if this does not work out for you, because the only person that you can change is yourself, I would say that you would definitely have to have boundaries with this man, because if he's a workaholic, that means that he may not call you for dates until the last minute. Is that true? Because
true.
You're always working and so involved. But you need to be a priority in his life. Make yourself a priority, and he'll make you one.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Sharice.
Helpful, very helpful.
Okay, that was a great question. That was a great question, because you just want to make sure whoever you have in your life is really the person that God sent. I see another caller. Let me see if I can get this caller in. Hello, caller. Hello. I think this is 770-895-5538. Can you hear me? They cannot hear me. Okay, let me try another caller on the air. That was a great call about relationships. Let me talk a little bit about some other things that may apply to you, that may be a belief system. I am not good enough. Is that you? I am not good enough. I am not worthy. If that is what you truly believe, that is what you're going to manifest. I am a mistake. I am not valuable. You have to work hard to get money. Remember, whatever you truly believe is what's going to happen in your life. I have lots of callers. Let's see. Hello, caller. Go ahead. Do you have a question for Constance? Hello?
Hello?
Do you have a question for Constance?
Yes. Yes, I do. Ms. Arnold?
Uh-huh.
Hi. I have just recently been introduced to the law of attraction within the past year or so.
Okay.
And with my new introduction, it's prompting me to really dig into my personal issues. And I've been seeing a counselor who has got me to realize that I do have codependent tendencies, and I am attracted to emotionally unavailable men. And my question to you is, now with this new information, what can I do to change this attraction to emotionally unavailable men and be attracted to men who are better for me?
Okay, thank you. Don't hang up. What's your name?
Joanne.
Okay, Joanne. Okay, that's a great question. And what the caller said was she just recently got introduced to the law of attraction, and I'm just going to say to you that it's going to take time to change your true belief system over or reprogram your DNA to what you want. And what I would encourage you to do, caller, is if you've been attracting the same kind of man, the first thing I want to do is applaud you, because awareness is the first step when it comes to change. If you are aware that I have been doing something wrong and now I need to change, that is a great step. And just like I said with the other caller, what I want you to do is you might want to just start getting in some counseling, get in the support group. I'm big on that. I'm big on 12 steps. And then over time, it is a process. It is a process. Over time, you will begin to change how you see yourself. And when you change how you see yourself, you will begin to change what you attract in your life. Because remember, like attracts like. And you're like a magnet that draws to you who you truly are. So in my life right now, because I'm loving myself at a really deep level, I am only really attracting into my life right now people who are really loving. And so the law is that whatever you think about most, whatever becomes your dominant thought, is what you've manifested in your life. But I think that as you begin to go through the process of counseling or whatever works for you, as I said earlier, everybody has their own path. When you do that, your DNA or your really core belief system will be changed, and then you will begin to change what you attract into your life. I think people fail because they try to attract without dealing with their DNA, and it never changes, because it would default back to like your C drive. Does that help you at all, caller?
Yes, it really does.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I see we have another caller here. Hello. Hello, caller. Can I help you? This is Ask Constance. Do you have a question?
Is this? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What is your question?
Okay. I have my son here. He's crying. He's very upset. He typed a question into the chat room and said, what if your parents always fight? How would you grow up and be like with a single parent? He wants to know what would. I'm trying to explain to him it will not impact his life negatively, that he is great within himself and it will have no bearing on him.
Okay, so how old is your child?
He's 9 years old.
Okay.
He's listening.
Okay, he's listening. What's his name?
Hello?
What's his name?
Andrew.
Andrew, this is Miss Constance. I want you to listen to me, Andrew.
Listen.
Anytime you have two parents who are really having a difficult time, who are maybe fussing a lot more because of what's going on with the economy, who may be fighting a little bit more. It really impacts the child. And children respond in different ways. It all depends on how sensitive they are. Some children withdraw. Some children become angry. Some children isolate themselves. Some children eat more. But anytime the family system is broken up, it's very traumatic for a child because they feel like they have to choose. I love mommy and I love daddy, so how can I choose one or the other? And so in a situation like that where there might be divorce or there might be a separation, I often tell the parents that it is going to be very traumatic for the child. There's no getting around that because that's all the children have known all of their lives. That's their foundation. And so you need to sit down and talk with the children. You need to reassure the children that mommy and daddy may not be getting along. It is not your fault. However, this is not going to change how much we love you. We're still going to be there for your games. We're still going to be there for the school, PTA, et cetera. So is Andrew on the line?
Yes.
Andrew, how do you feel about your parents? Are they going to be breaking up? Is that what you feel?
Yes.
Okay, have you been crying about it?
Yes,
and it's very traumatic for a child. And so I would say to the parents that you really need to reassure Andrew, caller. You really need to give him extra love, extra attention. I often refer parents to counseling, to coaching, anything to help the children because it's like a tearing away of your flesh, and children really have a difficult time dealing with it, and there is no easy way to divorce. And so parent, whoever called in, that's what I would suggest for you, that you would be very sensitive to this child. This may be a very, very sensitive child, and that's how you would deal with him, to reassure with him. You may have to spend more time with him, et cetera. So that would be my answer to you. And also, you need to make your counselor at his school aware, his teacher aware of kind of the situation that's going on in your home, because whatever goes on at home impacts the child at school. And children are going to act out at school what's going on at home.
Do you have referrals or you don't have?
Do I do what?
You do referrals.
I do referrals, I do. And you can go on my website and email me, and I'll be happy to do that for you.
Okay. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
That was a great call, because any of you who have grown up in a divorce home, it's very, very difficult. And they're saying now that if 100 people get married, that 57 of those people are going to get divorced, and that directly impacts that home. And, of course, you know, just having a broken home can really be a great factor in a dysfunctional home. So, what is your belief system? What are you truly believing? Let me read some more to you. I have to be skinny and have everything together before I get into a relationship. Or I am too old or overweight to be in a relationship. What a lie. Have any of you ever seen a woman who was maybe very unattractive and really overweight, and she was with this really great-looking guy, and you said to yourself, how did she get him? Well, guess what? Her belief system must have been, I'm all of that in a bag of chips, that I'm wonderful, that I'm beautiful, and that I deserve love. It really has nothing to do with how you look. People, when women come to me, I had this one lady come to me, and she was a beauty queen, and she felt that she was unattractive and ugly. And so consequently, what happened was she attracted very abusive relationships, because even though she was very beautiful on the outside, her DNA or her true belief system was that I'm ugly. Okay, let's talk about I am too old. Is that your belief system? Well, for my birthday in November, one of my friends gave me some tickets to go to see Tina Turner. I had never seen her before in concert, and so I think she's 68 years old. And I was just utterly amazed at how vibrant she is, the vitality that she has. And I heard an interview recently with her, and she said something very profound. She said, "I am ageless." And so her belief system is that I am ageless. I know I have a client that says, "Well, you know, I'm about to retire now, so I'm going to have to buy me a ranch." And I said to her, "Why are you going to buy a ranch?" She said, "Because, you know, when you get older, you can't go up and down the steps." And so her belief system is that when you get older, you can't go up and down the steps. So can you see how whatever your belief system is, that thing is limiting you, reigning in your life, and holding you back? Let's take another call. Hello, this is S. Constance. Carly, do you have a question?
Yes, Ms. Constance. How are you today?
Good. Speak up a little louder.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. What's your question?
I had a question about relationships.
Okay.
I've been in a few relationships, and they didn't work out.
Why didn't they work out?
I wasn't really sure. I tried to step back and analyze it myself, and then I saw the same pattern.
What was the pattern?
I would get in a relationship, and I would want to be in a relationship, and as soon as the person got close enough to me for me to love them and open up to them, I started, you know, pushing them away. Like, I found things that I didn't like about them that I didn't see before, and it's just like I can't help it. I don't want to be alone, and I mean, I don't have a problem attracting people to me. I just can't. It's just like some kind of emotional boundaries or something. I don't really know what to do with.
Wow. Okay, let me just ask you a couple of questions. Your childhood, you grew up with your mom and dad?
No, just my mom.
Where was your dad?
He lived in another state, but
okay,
I would
so
see him every summer.
So, but he wasn't really there for you emotionally?
No.
Okay. Did he love and nurture you?
When he was around, he did.
Okay, when he was around. But you really want love in your life?
I really do.
Okay. I believe you because I can identify with you. What's your first name?
Ashley.
Ashley. I can identify with you, Ashley, because I've been there with you a couple of times, and so have many of the other listeners. So let me just help you just a little bit. I believe just from what you said to me that you have a pattern of attracting men. In most of these relationships, do these men want a relationship with you?
They do.
They do. But then once you get them, you find something about, or maybe he snores, or maybe he screams too loud on his cell phone, or maybe you just find any little thing. And I believe it's because you don't feel worthy to have a relationship. And so if I were coaching or counseling you, I would say to you that if your daddy was not there for you as a little girl, what makes you think that any other man that you meet will be there for you? And so since your father abandoned you emotionally as a little girl and wasn't there for you, your belief system has been, think about it, well, I'm going to leave you before you leave me.
Oh, my God.
Is that it? I'm going to leave you. I'm craving for love. I'm starving for love because I sure didn't get it as a little girl, and now I'm in my 20s and I'm looking for it, but I'm afraid to really let myself truly go with this person because how can I truly trust somebody? I trusted my father, and he wasn't there, so now I'm going to leave you before you leave me. It's called abandonment. And so you leave them before they leave you.
But I don't really want to hurt them.
I know you don't. I know you don't. So what you need to do is you need to heal yourself. Just like I said earlier, you need to start going to counseling to deal with all of these unresolved issues. I have a saying that says, when you don't deal with your stuff deals with you. And so right now your stuff is dealing with you. It's blocking you because there are great men out there who would not abandon you. There are great men out there who would be true to you. And so what you have to do is it's not the man, it's you. So you need to bring healing through yourself through going to counseling, going to some support groups, going to 12 steps, and that will be a process for you. And once you are healed and your DNA changes or your core belief system changes, then your choices will change because you will be coming from a true place of love. You understand where I'm coming from?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so that's going to take time. And so there is no way right now if you were trying to manifest love in your life because, can I ask you a question, do you really truly love yourself? I do. Sometimes you kind of have issues with how you feel about yourself.
Sometimes I have issues.
Oh, we all do, sweetheart. We all do. I certainly understand that. And so when you can really begin to come from a place of love, your choices will change. When you change how you see yourself and you're coming from a place of loving and caring for yourself, your choices with men will change. I tell people, don't even try to be in a relationship until you really get some wholeness and some healing in your life. That's what I would say to you.
Okay. I know this may sound weird, but how do you go about knowing that you love yourself? I mean, I know I hear people.
Okay, that's a great question. You know that you love yourself by the way you treat yourself and by the way you let others treat you. Whatever you love and you value, you take care of. For example, I have a mink coat, and every summer I got to put that darn thing in storage. Why do I have to do that? Because I pay so much money for it, and they're just going to take it and just, I don't know what they do to it, and they keep it in a cold storage. Why do I do that? Because it's valuable. Whatever you value, you take care of, you cherish, you care for it. You put it in a special place. You put yourself in a certain position. You don't allow certain things to be done to you. That's how you can tell if you're truly loving yourself. And that, my dear, is a process.
Okay.
And most of us, believe me, it has taken me years to truly love myself. And I would say to you, it is only when I knew how much God loved me that I truly began to love myself as I should. And now that I'm loving myself, I take care of myself. I often work with women, and I tell them, if you love yourself, you would not be putting poison in your body, and poison are excessive sweets. If you love yourself, you would be caring for yourself. If you love yourself, you would be setting boundaries with others, saying no to others and yes to yourself. And those are signs of really loving and caring for yourself. And so with women, many times we say, well, you know, God says to give to others, but God says to love others as you love yourself. And so when you're loving yourself, you're really loving others. And so I would say to you, just take small baby steps and just beginning to care for yourself. Tell me one thing that you can begin to do to really love and care for yourself.
I probably can start eating a little healthier.
Okay, let's just say if you're drinking 5 sodas a day, say this week I'm just going to drink 3. That is very subtle. I have a friend and she often says, take small baby steps toward what you want. It takes 21 days to develop a habit. And then once you start doing that, then those are small signs of loving yourself. And then you, in 30 days, you might say, I think I can just have 1 Coke a day. So those are signs because, remember, you teach people how to treat you by the way you treat yourself.
Okay.
Okay? And you don't have to say a word with your mouth. When you're treating and loving and caring about yourself, then other people can see that, and that's how they would treat you. You're worthy, you're deserving, and if God made you and he did, you're here on earth for a purpose, and you're valuable. So start treating yourself better. And also begin to change the way you think about yourself. Tell me some of the thoughts that you've been thinking about yourself. Do you talk negative about yourself?
Sometimes, especially when I'm in a relationship.
Okay. Did you hear me when I said that you cannot go to the arms of a man to get only what God can give you?
Oh, no, ma'am.
And so for years, I went to the arms of a man to try to have a man to love me, to care for me, to nurture me, because I didn't have it within myself. And a man cannot make you happy. He can only give to you more of who you are. So you need to be already happy when you get into a relationship. So tell me one good thing about yourself that maybe your friends say about you. One good thing.
I'm dependable.
You're dependable. So I want you to begin to think on that. Tell me another thing.
Caring.
You're caring. Okay. So begin to think on that, because the more you think on something, the more that you will become that, and whatever you become, you will begin to attract that into your experience. Can you do those two things? Those are very small things, but if you will begin to do that, that is the small process of bringing love into your life. And I would strongly encourage you to go to a 12-step relationship group.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Happy Easter. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Easter to you. And that's just a prime example of somebody trying to attract love in their life, and it would not happen until she deals with her unresolved issues. Okay. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Do you have a question for Constance?
Hello.
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 Hello, this is Michael.
Okay, Michael, how are you?
Fine.
Do you have a question for me?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what is your question?
I have a problem with letting things go, especially problems. Whenever I'm faced with a problem, it seems like I just dwell on it, and nothing ever happens but negative things, I suppose. It's really getting in the way of me getting what I want out of life. So I was wondering, like, how can I not dwell on problems and make them worse, I suppose.
Okay, so give me an example of what you've been dwelling on, or something that has been really difficult for you to let go. Just something recent.
Recently, I had a roommate. I was having problems with one of my roommates, and he told me to clean up something that wasn't my mess.
Mm-hmm.
And it really kind of frustrated me, and I didn't say anything to him, but I just really been thinking about just like, I don't understand why he would come at me like that and tell me to continue to, I don't know, just harass me about it.
Harass you. And so when somebody does something, you just think about it and get mad about it, but you don't really say nothing to that person.
No.
And so you walk around with kind of like anger, like kind of like unforgiveness, et cetera.
And then eventually, it'll get to the point to where they'll say something to me, and then I'll just kind of explode.
Right.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why that happens. Your name is Micah, right? Let me tell you why that happens. Anytime you hold stuff in for a period of time, it turns into rage. And rage is nothing more than anger with a history to it. I call it historical anger. And so it's kind of like you're mad, and then you're like a Coca-Cola can that you sit on the outside in the sun. What's going to happen to it? It's just going to explode all over the place.
Right.
And so really, when you have unforgiveness, it's kind of like you drinking poison and you expecting it not to impact you or to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're really poisoning yourself. And what I would say to you, are you kind of a quiet person, or is it difficult for you to communicate with people how you truly feel?
Exactly. It's very hard to communicate what I'm thinking to
people. Okay. Well, let me just give you a couple of ideas here. Number one, if you have a friend that you could call and maybe just sort of share with him or her, you know, this is what's going on, and I'm really feeling frustrated and upset about this, that might be your first step. And then the second step, I tell people to kind of sit down if you're really angry and upset about something, is to write down how you truly feel. And when you go with that person, go to speak with that person, don't go blaming, but go saying, you know, it really makes me feel really frustrated when I ask you to clean up the bathroom and you don't do that, instead of saying, you don't ever clean up the bathroom, and you're just dirty and you're just filthy, so you don't go blaming the person. So you actually writing down your feelings, how you feel. It makes me feel really unappreciated when you do this. It makes me feel really angry when you do that. So for you who doesn't really like to communicate that much, write it down so that you can see it in black and white. And then when you go in with him, just share with him and say, look, you know I'm not a great communicator, but as long as you allow that person to make you walk in unforgiveness, to walk around mad all the time, and you're thinking about it all the time, Michael, that person is ruling your life.
Mm-hmm.
You have just given all of your power over to that person to rule your life for that day. And so if you're doing that and if you're walking in unforgiveness, you cannot really begin to attract the big things that you want to. And so those are some methods that I would say to you. Do you think you could do that? Maybe call somebody to talk out maybe how you feel, somebody who you really feel comfortable with, and then write down, you know, it really makes me feel so-and-so, so-and-so when you do that.
Yeah.
So you're telling the person how you feel rather than blaming them. Because anytime you hold unforgiveness or you're mad at somebody, it really stops the good, the blessings of God from getting to you, and you're really stopping your attraction from flowing into your life.
Okay.
So do you think you can do that?
Yeah, I can call a friend.
Okay. Can you write out how you really feel? Because it sounds like that you sort of hold stuff in a lot.
I do, and I don't really know how to forgive. Like, there are some things that have happened in the past that I thought I have, you know, gave people over.
Uh-huh.
But really, I kind of just push it in the back of my mind, and then I know I haven't really forgiven those people for what they've done, just because whenever I think about it, I would get angry.
Okay, let me help you just a little bit, really quick. Forgiveness is a decision that you make, a quality decision. And if you've really, really, really been hurt, you're going to have to ask God to help you. God, help me to forgive this person. I really don't want to forgive them. I'm just mad as hell about what they did to me, but please help me. You're going to have supernatural help to help you move on. The third thing is that you are going to realize that it's a process, that it takes time. The fourth thing is that you need to ignore your emotions. Because you have made a quality decision and you see the person, that does not mean that you have not forgiven them, because remember that it's a process. And I tell people that over time, because you have asked for supernatural help and you have ignored your emotions, over time, that healing will come to you. And this is how you can tell if you're truly forgiving somebody. When you see them and the pain is no longer there, you're just like, wow. And so I think what people don't know is they need supernatural help and that it's a process. Okay, so if you would just utilize those couple of steps, Micah, that might would help you, okay?
Okay, thanks.
And thank you for calling.
No problem.
Okay, caller, do you have a question? Hello,
Hello,
this is Constance. Do you have a question?
Yes.
What is your question?
Hi. My name is Elizabeth. I just wanted to know, how can I be sure that men in relationships are actually attracted to me and not my looks? I am very beautiful, and I seem to have a problem with attracting men who only are interested in me because of my looks.
And why do you think that is?
During the relationship, it will become evident that they're only interested in my looks or in my body. And I just want to be sure that I'm attracting someone who is interested in what's really inside of me, because I really do want a meaningful relationship.
Okay, do you feel that you have substance? I want to know, what is it within you? Because it's never the other person, caller. What is it that is within you that would attract that kind of man? What is it? what are you doing? Because it all goes back to personal responsibility. What do you feel like is in you? What kind of vibe are you giving off? What are they perceiving in you that would be attracted to you? What's your thought on that before I answer what I believe?
You know, I'm really not sure. Sometimes I feel as though that I just don't have a very discerning spirit to tell the difference between just good and bad. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm just going to say this to people who are listening. I think that relationships need to be proven. I think that we jump in relationships too quick. People say, I love you, but you don't even know me. How can you love what you don't know? And so I would say for you, I just have my own personal beliefs, but I believe that relationships need to be proven. You should not move in relationships very quickly. You need to know, is this a man of substance? Does he have integrity? Why did he end his last relationship? Is he in the relationship for a committed relationship? Because I truly believe that you really attract into your life who you are. So it really has nothing to do with them. It has to do with you.
Mm.
And I think that you need, you say you're so beautiful on the outside, which I'm sure you are, but I think the beauty from the inside needs to emanate from your being. Your spirit needs to be so powerful that it would really repel anybody who came to you who did not have a great motive towards you.
How can I work on presenting that spirit more outwardly to repel things that are bad for me?
Well, I would say that you need to be you can say no, set boundaries with men. Can I have your phone number? No. Maybe give them your email address because you don't know them. Don't let them enter into your life so quickly. Don't let them enter into your private room. Remember, you are valuable. You are a prize. You are a queen. And so you need to walk very carefully and very gingerly in relationships and get to know people. How do you know people? By spending time with them. And so I think that ladies, and especially, how old are you?
28.
I think that you move too quickly. In the olden days, you would get to know a person for a year, even before you held hands. I know that I would be stoned for saying that now, but I think that when you're powerful, it comes from the inside out. And I'll just say about me that certain men don't even approach me because of what's coming out of me. Now, it hasn't always been like that, Carla. I can certainly understand where you were coming from, but I realized that in my own life, personally, I was projecting something. There was something in me that was attracting those kind of men. So now I can walk through the mall, and certain men won't even say anything to me because who I am from the inside out is so powerful, and it emanates that it repels and keeps back anybody that's not truly authentic and real coming into my life. That's what I would say to you. Well, I have I've had so many calls today. I just have a couple of things I want to say. I only have about 2 minutes left, and I want to share a couple of things with you. I think I shared earlier that some of you need to get in support groups. Everybody needs to deal with their own belief system. Everybody has their own path that they go down. I cannot tell you what that is. Counseling, support group, 12-step prayer, laying on of hands, whatever works for you. You need to admit that you have a problem. Begin to visualize where you want to be. Begin to affirm or confess out loud what you want. Remember that you create your world with your words, and you need to spend time meditating. This is big. When you spend time alone, begin to reprogram your thinking with your thoughts. Begin to reprogram your DNA by who you truly are. Begin to visualize the end result of what you want to happen in your life. And I have helped thousands of people move from limiting beliefs to places of abundance, places of prosperity, places of health and wealth. And the same can happen to you because God indeed has a purpose and a plan for your life. And I just want you to know that you can have anything, you can be anything, and you can go anywhere you want to, because truly, if you truly believe, all things are possible. This is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Show. Please, you can email me at www.fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you next week.